PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Hey guys, how's it going? Bonus episode time. Welcome to Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, chilling in the Crespediso studio with Drew Sacogra. And Drew,
what up, dude?
How's it going? I blew it, my bad. You gave me the tone, and I tried to step it down, and I blew it. I wasn't prepared. I should have been prepared. Huh. I get one of these easily. Deserve one of these. You're right.
You do.
Man, that cuts off fast.
Yeah, it does. That's a weird, awkward cutout.
Oh, man. Can you see the coke come out of my nose?
I was just about to say, how much cocaine did you do?
Also, I just got just out of my nose. I had to sniff it back in. Oh my god, guys, I'm all hopped up on pho noodles and iced coffee and just had a sip of mead. And now I got my vodka soda here.
Yeah.
My stomach will not be happy.
That's it, your palate's probably a little twisted right now, too.
You got that canned mead, yo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what's throwing it off.
Canned mead's delicious.
That off dry.
I love me some honey wine.
Honey wine is good stuff.
I mean, honey just ferments, I guess. And then you drink it. And then you get drunk.
There you go.
So, hey.
That's a thumbs up from Drew. That's a thumbs up from Drew. All right, well, I think those dabs are kicking in, right, Drew? So here we go.
Mm.
Spillover movie news. This is when we take the movie news that we can't fit into the last episode or the stuff that happened since then, and we talk about it here. And the running joke has been for weeks, this week in rape culture is what starts every movie segment because it's always the fallout
who's
is everlasting,
touchy
right?
Feely now.
So, but now, you know, it's just all going to be, it's all this week. Just the unspoken thing now is it's all this week in rape culture, even when no one's mentioning anything rapier. It's all, you know what I'm saying, right?
I get it. I'm picking up what I'm throwing down, Chris.
Picking up what I'm throwing down. So... the whole... All right, first off, Gal Gadot.
Mm. She won.
Her name is Gal Gadot.
Okay.
All right?
Sure.
So we have to retrain ourselves now to say her name properly.
Okay.
Gal Gadot.
Why didn't...
Gal Gadot, Gal Gadot, Gal Gadot, Gal Gadot.
Why didn't she stop us before?
Maybe she was trying to know one was listening. Be quiet, woman. We know how to say her name. It's Gadot.
God damn it, it's her name.
We mansplain her name to her.
If I have been pronouncing it wrong this whole time, someone needs to tell me this shit.
Well, we're telling you now. Apparently, it's Gadot.
Okay.
So, Gal Gadot, the whole Gal Gadot, Brett Ratner. Apparently, that's Ratner. No, it's not.
This is Rat.
The Rat. The whole thing where she's like, either the Rat goes or I go on Wonder Woman 2.
Yeah.
And then Warner Brothers was like, no, that never happened. She never made those claims. Calling it. Quote, fake news.
Uh-huh.
Not fake news. And Warner Brothers, technically, not incorrect.
Okay.
When they said Gal Gadot. See, almost did it.
Yeah.
When she did not make those claims. Not to them, and not formally.
Uh-huh.
What happened was... Gal, just like many, many other people working in the production, were like, we don't want to work with this guy anymore in any capacity, and it's a bummer that he's making any money off of these movies now.
Uh-huh.
So before it even got to a point where she would have to step up and be like, it's me or him, Warner Brothers was already like, we're dropping this guy like a bad habit.
Okay.
So it was already in the works. It didn't take star power for her to be to stepping up. That was really just like a, what's the game, a telephone when you pass down the information?
Oh, yeah.
And then it's changing ever so slightly.
Oh, every time. Yeah.
So it goes from... she just expresses the fact that she doesn't want to work with him. Two, by the time it gets down to the line to someone with a website, she has refused to work with Bubba, right? So,
there you go. Okay.
Let me see if I can... I'm going to try. Yeah, I didn't put them in order. Let me see if I can try to lump them all together.
Godot just sounds better.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's what I was like thinking. Like, if people wanted to Tarjay up my name somehow, you know, and it sounded fancier, because you can't do it to Crespo.
No.
There's no way to fancy it.
It's already...
It's pretty...
Too many vowels.
Yes. But... Godot.
No, it doesn't sound.
I tried saying it.
Sounds rough.
Yeah. She's like, I'm Special Forces Agent Gal Gadot.
I mean, that I would believe.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
As opposed to, you know, Woman of My Dreams, Gal Gadot.
Uh-huh. Correct.
Sweep me off my feet.
I would let her, too.
Okay, so you're skinny enough. She could.
Yeah.
Well, now she could, once she's on that Zack Snyder 300
Wonder Woman
get
kick.
Ripped for movies.
Yeah.
If there's pictures out there, so many comparison shots of all these actors before he got involved with anything Zack Snyder.
And then after. Well, yeah, because his movies lend themselves to that, like, he's just like, listen, you need to be ripped.
You need to be over a top comic book huge.
Yeah.
Here's some HGH, here's some steroids. You figure out what you're going to do. This isn't sports. We're not regulated.
Do what you want.
Jason Momoa goes from being a California surfer boy to...
super jacked California surfer boy.
Super giant man.
Yeah. Super metal beardo.
And it's funny, too. You look at pictures of all these people beforehand, and they're all still fit.
Oh, yeah, skinny, but not like shape. This.
But then you see them afterwards, and it's all like, what the hell? Someone give this person a carb. Just one small carb.
No.
And then they go, they eat it, they go... Oh, really, really big. All the Money in the World, now ironically titled because Ridley Scott decided we're removing Kevin Spacey from this film entirely.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Apparently, he's really only in a handful of scenes with other actors, and then otherwise, he's in a lot of stuff
by himself,
removed from Wahlberg and Michelle Williams. So, he's been replaced with Christopher Plummer, and they're racing to get this done by its December 22nd release date. And Variety is reporting. Oh, how much do you think, Drew? Yeah, according to Variety, how much do you think it's going to cost them to replace Kevin Spacey from this movie, who's in somewhere around, like, you know, eight to maybe say 20% of the movie, maybe less?
$50 million.
How much?
50.
You shot high. $10 million. An easy $10 million.
Still, that is ludicrous.
That is a ton of money. Christopher Plummer will get somewhere between $250,000 to $400,000, and that's just based on, like, scale, wage stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's just SAG regulations.
Yes, exactly. And then... So rather than shoot Plummer in front of a green screen and then replace him, Ridley Scott believe it will be more economical and effective to simply recreate those scenes with Plummer. So instead of doing digital mastery to take out Kevin Spacey and insert Chris Plummer, they're just going to reshoot the scenes, which requires bringing all those actors back, all the background people, the extras, the crews back, getting those sets back. So that's where a lot of money's going as well. Yeah. But then we don't have any weird Uncanny Valley stuff. You're going to be... You will keep your graphic design eye out for this. My... screwed up eyes probably won't pick up on this properly, but apparently Henry Cavill's mustache thing ends up being a situation in Just Ice League. will be instances of Uncanny Valley face on Henry Cavill apparently.
Yeah, if they're I'm gonna notice it. I notice shit like that.
Nice. Can't wait to see his face all of a sudden get weird for no reason. He's just talking.
And all of a sudden, mustache, what?
What?
For like a split second.
That'd be funny.
Like 1/10 of a second,
leaving
mustache.
Even for a frame?
Yep.
Back to Brett Ratner. I forgot I had this story. Would it surprise you if I said he's also homophobic?
No.
Ellen Page was in X-Men The Last Stand.
Uh-huh.
This was back in 2006.
Yes.
Ellen Page at the time was 18 years old.
Uh-huh.
And the way she described it, not only was she not out, she wasn't even out to herself. Like, okay. She hadn't even come to grips with the fact that she was a lesbian.
Yeah.
So Ellen Page puts on Facebook, according to Page, Ratner made the slur. Well, where's the actual... It just says the slur. Ratner made a slur about her to another actress during the first day of filming X-Men The Last Stand. Quote, "You should fuck her to make her realize she's gay." He said this about me during a cast and crew meet and greet before we began filming X-Men The Last Stand. I was 18 years old. He looked at a woman sitting next to me, 10 years my senior, pointed to me and said, "You should fuck her to make her realize she's gay." He was the film's director, Brett Ratner. "I was a young adult who had not yet come out to myself. I knew I was gay, but did not know, so to speak. I felt violated when this happened. I looked down at my feet, didn't say a word, and watched as no one else did either. This man who had cast me in the film started our months of filming at a work event with this horrific, unchallenged plea. He outed me with no regard for my well-being, an act we all recognize as homophobic." End quote. So that's her allegation.
Uh-huh.
Anna Paquin.
Uh-huh.
On Twitter. Also in X-Men The Last Stand, tweets, "I was there when that comment was made. I stand with you," at Alan Page.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Brett Ratner made Rush Hour.
Mm-hmm.
Rush Hour, in many ways, helped introduce Western audiences to Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Martial arts cinema.
Yes.
Rush Hour also, he brought on Lalo Schifrin to do the score. Lalo Schifrin was huge in the 60s and 70s. He did the theme song for Mission Impossible. Mm-hmm. He did the score for Enter the Dragon. Mm-hmm. And then he wasn't getting much work. You know, as his style fell out of favor, because it's very 60s, 70s. Brett Ratner got him to do, he's like, "I want the Enter the Dragon guy to do my Rush Hour score." He got Lalo Schifrin a bunch of work, and he got him back working again. I love those movies.
Yeah.
I hate Brett Ratner so mm-hmm. much, whether it was every fiber of my being. No. He's a piece of shit.
Yes.
And this stuff just kind of...
Who makes good movies sometimes?
Yeah, it's been a while.
I said sometimes.
But he's made some. He's made some good ones, a couple of passable ones, and those last few have been terrible.
Yes.
Apparently, if he wasn't so busy just trying to get overly laid and being a jerk to people in general. You know. And the whole homophobia thing, I bet you. I wouldn't be surprised. Lady doth protest too much.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all the rapey type stuff. It might come up. That's the thing with the world today. Let's get into some more upbeat fun news, though, real quick. Tyrese Gibson.
So, did anybody dress up as Tyrese for Halloween?
No, fuck no. Tyrese won't even dress up as Tyrese for Halloween.
He has to dress up as somebody else for Halloween.
Tyrese Gibson tweet. And then he
needs money.
And then he took it down from Instagram. Of course, it took it down, but it's not there anymore. He put up a post online on Instagram, his preferred method of communication apparently these days, mm-hmm. where he put up a picture of a bottle of medicine.
And he's like, "I'm gonna eat the whole thing."
No. It's medicine called Rexulti, R-E-X-U-L-T-I. He put that up there. It's just a picture of a probably a stock photo of that. And then he wrote, "I want you guys to know that to this day, I don't drink, smoke, or on any level do I do drugs. Because of this high stress and very traumatic experience, I was advised, then ultimately connected with multiple therapists and psychiatrists. I had a few private meetings." He writes with no punctuation. "And this particular drug that was suggested, although maybe helpful to others, had an adverse effect on me, and this is the reason I had a complete meltdown online. I'm in the clear now. This is being flushed out of my system, and I'm all ready to get back at 100%. Please don't chalk this up as oversharing. A lot of people were affected by what these meds did to me over the last 2 months, and this is my public apology. A few I'll make personally. I'm so very sorry, guys. Please, guys, just know this is not the singer, actor. This is Sheila's father." Bring Paul father thing again. So he's blaming everything on Rexulti, on this one particular drug. Rexulti, Drew, is used to treat schizophrenia.
Oh, nice. Why is he taking Rexulti? Because he's schizophrenic?
Apparently he's schizophrenic. And apparently he's got, you know, unfortunate mental health issues that he's trying to work out, which would then lead, I would say, unfortunately, more credence to his ex-wife's allegations of being bipolar and being abusive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to have empathy for the man. It was obvious he was going through some stuff.
Obvious, yeah. Well, yeah.
That always happens. That happened with Charlie Sheen when the Tiger Blood and F-16s from the sky. Pew, pew, he's going crazy.
Well, you see,
he was very clearly having a hard time. He was going crazy for some reason, and we were just like,
"Oh no!" You see, the thing is, Charlie Sheen. He wasn't We knew he was he was going crazy for something, but he wasn't just going crazy. He was also on drugs.
Yes, yeah, that was part of it, though. Like, it was very publicly melting down in front of people.
The thing is,
we all just laughed about
once. Well, it was because of the public drug use. Because once you're on drugs, if you melt down, people just blame it on the drugs. Mm. It's like, oh, it's the drugs, whatever.
Yeah, but we could. I'm saying, as a society, we all could have had a more compassionate response than we did now. We were all like, I'm including myself.
Well,
we all did this
because
he fed into it. It was a feedback loop for a while, and then we find out 4 years later. Oh, that times out was when he found that he was diagnosed with HIV.
Well, society's pretty awful.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, one person, like you can rationalize things with a person. You can talk things out with a single person. That, you know, the second you add 2, 3, 4, however many billion people are out there, no, it all just goes to shit. Mm. Mob mentality kicks in. Mm. I mean, it, we're all susceptible to it. It's the way we're fucking wired, unfortunately.
Yeah. It was groupthink.
No.
Yeah,
it's awful.
Mob mentality, 100%. So Tyrese schizophrenia. That's a bummer. There we go. For real. Good movie story. Good news story. Getting uplifting. You ready, Drew? Here we go. So Harvey Weinstein
is dead.
No. Oh, man. Hung himself. Hung himself with his own
autoerotic asphyxiation.
Gave himself a Colombian necktie. That'd be hard. Right?
Give yourself a Colombian necktie?
Yeah.
Oh, that would take dedication.
You'd have to do it fast.
That would take dedication.
Yeah. Harvey Weinstein and all the shit, blah, 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 Weinstein, et cetera, doing bad. They're probably going bankrupt. They're being sued. They're not going to exist very much longer. They sold, the Weinstein company sold the rights wholly for Paddington 2, the Paddington Bear movie. So they got that off their slate because the producers were like, we won out. We won out of our deal. And Tarantino, he's making his first movie now. Sans the Weinsteins.
Doesn't really have a choice.
And it has afforded him the opportunity to go on a... get himself into a bidding war for the first time in his career. Like, probably since Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
Played at Sundance, I guess. Whatever festival it debuted at. And then got people wanting to pay for it with the Weinsteins. Ended up coming out on top at the time. He got himself into a nice bidding war with, well, let me just give you, it's funny what he did. He wrote the script, which being reported in the media as based on the Charles Manson murders, Charles Manson family murder stuff. Yeah. He is saying, no, it's the summer when the murders happened. It's August 1969. But the movie is not about the Manson murders. The movie is about 1969. So he's planning on making this big, sprawling, star-studded, multi-story that's all like just
that all
set,
kind of connects.
Kind of like Spike Lee's Summer of Sam.
Yeah, exactly.
Type of thing.
One story will lead into the other, so on and so forth.
We all know his predilection for jumbling up stories and finding funny ways to connect things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But you know... you know those scenes are going to be in the movie because we know how much he loves blood and violence.
Yes, exactly. And nostalgia for days gone by. Yeah. And he's going to go crazy with the references. So, he wrote the script already. Okay. Script is done. If any of the studios, any of the executives wanted to get in on the action, the first thing they'd do, they wanted to obviously read the script. That's the first thing you want to do to see if you want to get in on this. Make sure he doesn't... didn't just shit out of turkey, because the guy writes a lot. He could be like, yeah, I'm going to make this one. You're like, pick another one. You had to go to his agency, where his agents were. They had the script in possession, and then he had to read it there. Okay. No copies, none of that, no sharing. He's already had the issues with Inglourious Basterds and...
stuff leaking.
And Hateful Eight both leaked out. And also Kill Bill. No, just Inglourious Basterds was the first one. You had to go there to read the script. Every studio in town except
Weinstein.
No, studios. Every studio in town except
Warner Brothers.
No, nope, not Warner Brothers. Give you one more shot.
Universal.
Disney. Disney's like, yes. They're not going to make a Tarantino movie. No. They don't have their adult movie arm set up just yet.
Yeah.
That's when they buy Fox, if that ever happens. Actually, I think that's off the table now, the whole Fox thing. Yeah, so that's not going to happen anymore. Not in the near future, anyway. So everyone except Disney went, read the script, or the East for the executives. And then they all got the second part of the pitch, and that involved the money, in which Tarantino said he wants $100 million to make the movie. And he wants his very specific, like, payment structure. Yeah, well, the money that he wants, which is a very, very... He wants a very big payday up front, regardless of what the movie makes. And then if the movie becomes a big hit, he wants another payday on top of that. He wants, like, the Robert Downey Jr. deal. He wants the Steven Spielberg deal, okay? Which the Weinsteins probably could never afford him anyway, right? So, having done that, gotten to that part, Paramount, Sony, and Warner Brothers were all like, okay, we're all in on those terms. So he got three studios to agree to his outlandish terms after reading the screenplay.
What?
Yes. So then here comes the next part of the pitch. But this is the part where he meets on their lots and hears their sales pitch, right? So they were all, apparently, the studios, these guys were doing things that, like, employees haven't seen studios do in a little bit to, like, woo someone, you know? Who was it? Warner Brothers. When Tarantino showed up to the Warner Brothers lot, they swapped out the big Warner Brothers logo out front for the one from 1969. They had a whole bunch of cars from 1969 and 68 in the, like, vintage cars in the lot sitting there waiting for when he showed up. Let's see here. What else did they say? The executive conference room was outfitted with vintage furniture from the era and mock posters for the movie.
Of course.
That was just Warner Brothers. Sony did a multimedia presentation. Talk about how they would release the movie. Talk about their competitive advantages. And he met their marketing team. They were talking about how they can make a lot of money internationally. And they just met with, like, the muckety mucks, like the CEOs, the studio chiefs. No assistants. I mean, the assistants were there, but they were off to the side assisting. He was, like, talking to the people. I thought there was another one in here that was, like, talking about what they did. Anyway, we'll see how much. I wonder if this movie ends up being any good. Hope so.
I mean, either way, it's going to be amazing, because either Tarantino's going to get exactly what he wants anyway, and then
he's getting up front, he's getting everything he wants,
everybody else can fuck off. Or he's getting everything he wants, and hopefully everyone else will get what they want too. And
hopefully, we'll see. All we want is a good movie.
Yeah.
Apparently Tom Cruise may be in talks for a big role in it. It's going to be a huge movie with lots of people, so. Tom Cruise in a Tarantino movie?
Tom Cruise as Marilyn Manson.
As Marilyn Manson. I'm in. Time travel Marilyn Manson.
Yes.
Shows up in August 69.
Yes.
And he's shorter.
He's hanging out with Charlie.
And he's hanging out with Charlie. And he's like, you can inspire me.
Yep.
Now watch this stunt.
Marilyn Monroe comes back from the grave. They'll hang out together.
Marilyn Monroe. Charles Manson. Marilyn Manson. Get in the Bill and Ted phone booth. Time travel. But then they fall into, like, the wrong slipstream. They don't just time travel. End up in, like, Tatooine.
What do we call this movie, Chris?
This movie is called...
Marilyn Manson?
No, it's called... Charles Marilyn Manson... Colon!
Charles Marilyn Manson colon.
Adventures Through Time.
Okay.
It's more of a storybook.
We're working on that.
We'll cook it up a little bit and we'll come back to it later. So yeah, Tarantino making this big movie, maybe with Tom Cruise.
What?
That's crazy. So, Just Ice League comes out this weekend.
I mean, okay.
Rotten Tomatoes did this weird thing where the reviews, the embargo was lifted like a week and a half ago.
Okay.
And Rotten Tomatoes had all the reviews, but they didn't put the number up. They didn't do the math for you. Or they had the math, but they weren't showing you the final numbers. And they were like, Thursday or Wednesday, the day before the movie comes out, 24 hours before the movie is available, we are going to have some sort of, like, show, the debut of our show called, like, See blah, It blah, or blah. Skip It or something, yeah. Right? Where then they talk about the movie score. And they were like, we're going to reveal the Rotten Tomatoes score on our program. So they were effectively holding the score. They were hiding it until almost the last possible
holding
moment.
Ransom.
Yeah, until the movie comes out. Just keep this in mind, doing that. Warner Brothers produce releases Just Ice League. Warner Brothers owns a 25% share in Rotten Tomatoes.
Ha! Of course.
So just consider that. Also, a majority share of Rotten Tomatoes owned by, we've talked about this before, owned by Fandango.
Yes, that we have talked about.
Which makes Rotten Tomatoes scores on the Fandango app suspect. Actually change.
Yes.
Fandango is owned by NBC Universal. So not only does Warner Brothers have a stake in wanting their scores seen in a certain episode, anything by NBC Universal. NBC Universal owned by Comcast. So it doesn't matter. We're fighting the multi-headed beast that just keeps getting bigger and bigger. More tentacles.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're getting just scarier and scarier and more money every time you go up.
It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
I remember when Comcast was just a little cable company. I remember it, Chris. They used to provide me with cable when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And now they're this multinational conglomerate.
And now they do everything.
It's so scary.
So the Golden Globes are now coming upon. It's already goddamn almost December coming upon. Stupid film awards season.
The Golden Globes.
The Golden Globes. They're the worst.
The Golden Globes.
The Golden Globes? Uh-huh. Like Golden's mustard?
Yes.
The Golden Globes. The worst. I hate the fucking award shits.
Yeah. Cool. And yet we're going to be talking about them the entire time.
Billy Eichner tweeted, I think someone shared this. Was it Ron? Someone shared this. Gabe? I can't remember. Billy Eichner said new Oscar category would be Best Apology.
Ooh. I mean, we're going to have a lot of nominees this week.
Take that.
Lots of nominees this year.
Lots of nominees. The entire ceremony will be. The Golden Globes, which is the far worse version of the Oscars. So much.
It's like the indie Oscars.
God, it's terrible.
It's like the Oscars with way less money.
With less money, less cred, less everything. Less everything. Except for alcohol. More alcohol. That's the only thing they got. They get everyone hammered, shit-faced hammered.
Which can be fun.
I guess. They decided to nominate Jordan Peele's Get Out in the comedy or musical category.
But
I loathe the Golden Globes. I loathed the Golden Globes. The Golden Globes.
As a
comedy, yeah.
But
you take out the one that security guard character. Take him out. What's funny about that movie?
Nothing. That movie is raw and true and very fucking scary.
When that news came out about the Globes, Jordan Peele tweeted simply, Get Out is a documentary. That's how he feels about it. Then he went on to explain later how labeling the movie as a comedy, the comedy label, and this is coming from a lifelong comedian, putting the comedy label on something trivializes it.
It does.
And the tragedies that he's emphasizing and talking about and the truths that he's talking about in the movie are being trivialized by calling it a comedy.
Yeah.
And so he feels disrespected.
No.
So I think we should all just stop watching the Golden Globes and pretend it doesn't exist. All right, deal. All agreed. Makes it so much easier for us as a show.
I can do that.
Great. Stupid Golden Globes. I try to ignore it as much as I can. Except when I gotta throw some shade. You see that cloud?
No.
You don't see it?
No.
All that shade that I'm bringing with me? Michael B. Jordan. About the being that Black Panther.
Mm.
With the weird spiky skin.
Yeah. And the yellow, not the purple.
The yellow, not the purple. That's how you gotta tell them apart.
It's so stupid. Yeah. It's going to be the worst part of the movie. Yeah, everything else is going to be probably really awesome, and that's going to be the worst part.
That's possible, yeah. That's possible. Michael B. Jordan, Drew, will Michael be directing his first movie? How do you like that?
That was stupid.
What, I'm making a movie?
No, the way you presented it.
Oh, my fantastic presentation of the facts?
Or lack thereof.
I thought that was good stuff.
I think you're wrong.
I could be directing The Stars Beneath Our Feet. It's a young adult book, debut novel, story of an African-American youth who must find his way safely through the projects of Harlem following the loss of his older brother to gang violence. He is aided by the power of his imagination and the magic of Legos.
Sweet.
Novel was only released this past September, has garnered critical acclaim.
So it's like I don't know where I'm going with that.
It's like
going somewhere and I got totally derailed.
It's like Juice meets the Lego movie. It's like the Lego Juice movie.
There's Tupac in it?
Lego Tupac.
Maybe that's the way we
do. There we go.
Maybe that's the way we finally get a good Tupac movie. Lego Tupac.
Forget all the holograms. Forget all the actors and looking like...
Just straight up Lego Tupac.
Lego Tupac.
Man, somebody get Lord Miller on the phone.
They're too busy being fired by Disney.
That's, exactly. That's been a while. They can make the Lego Tupac movie now.
They're already working on something else. We'll talk about that. I think this is our last story. Here we go. No, two more stories. Danny McBride. Mm-hmm. Talk about how they got Jamie Lee Curtis. Mm-hmm. And he just said that when he wrote the screenplay with David Gordon Green, they emphasized Laurie Strode, the character, and tried to write such a great character that Jamie Lee Curtis couldn't say no. And she said yes. Mm-hmm. Obviously, not necessarily doing it for her money. Well, she's, I don't know, maybe $250,000.
I mean, it's got to be beating that yogurt money.
Maybe she gets paid in yogurt and then she just needs it. Got digestive issues. Yeah, it helps keep her regular. All those digestives.
Digestives.
Christopher Nolan, when he was making Dunkirk, for research purposes, he wanted to rewatch Saving Private Ryan.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting that Vin Diesel's
in
it.
I keep forgetting that Vin Diesel's in Saving Private Ryan.
It's so weird.
It's so weird.
You're not Michael McDonald.
No. No. I wish. Not even a Kenny Loggins, let alone Michael McDonald.
No, we're near Kenny Loggins.
Get out of here with that stuff.
Not even Kenny Rogers.
Oh, Kenny Rogers. That's good stuff. That chicken? You remember that?
Kenny Rogers Roasters?
Oh, yeah.
It's the wood that makes it good, Chris.
It's the wood that makes it good. And it's the spices and it's dripping onto
the... Yeah, the strip club that Pee Wee Herman got caught at. Got turned into a Kenny Rogers Roasters after they tore it down.
Oh, they tore it down.
Yeah, they tore it down.
Okay, I'm imagining.
Yeah.
People walk around the stage and get to the counter. Yeah,
in their spot, turned into a Kenny Rogers Roasters.
That's funny. That's good stuff.
I think, I'm trying to think what it is now. I think it's a bank.
A bank? That's boring.
In the spot, yeah.
I'm gonna go to that bank and jerk off in the lobby. Like, this is for Pee-wee!
It's Triple X Theater. It used to be right there on 41, right near Golfgate.
41, right near Golfgate. Just right up the road there from the old Pizza Chicken Farm. Right?
No.
No?
Right around the corner from the Golfgate Mall.
Golfgate, which then got, Pete's like Chicken Farm that got turned into the Golfgate Mall. I mean, there was a chicken farm in the 20s.
5 minutes from the beach.
Mm-hmm. There were beach chickens. Good stuff. This is good content. So Christopher Nolan, had to think real quick. Christopher Nolan wanted to make his movie Dunkirk, and he's like, I need war footage, but I want it to be good footage.
That was a really weird tangent we just went on.
Yeah. We had to get a long way to get back. There was no way to segue back to what we were actually talking about. We just had to do it. Drew, just sometimes you just gotta do it. It's alright. I'm gonna go back in and I'll edit it to sound like it's just
smooth.
Yeah, I just edit out the whole tangent. The whole thing about the chicken farm and the beach and old McGentry's strip club. What was the name of the strip
club?
Straight up.
No.
Oh, no, it wasn't a strip club. It was
Triple X Theater.
Triple X Theater.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it.
Pee Wee's Playhouse.
Oh, that's what we spray painted on the side of it.
Hi-yo! Smart afterwards. Kids!
Yeah, we were.
little genius kids with no money. Enough money for a can of spray paint and
didn't even have to buy the spray paint.
A sack of Moxie.
Got it. Got it out of one of our sheds.
Stolen spray paint.
Somebody's shed.
At least one of your parents'. It
wasn't my parents. My mom knew better than to keep spray paint around me.
Little demon.
Yeah.
Huffing our spray paint.
No.
You kept coming home with a bunch of silver paint around your mouth.
Just painting things.
Like cats. Neighborhood cats.
No.
So, Christopher Nolan wanted to make Dunkirk. And he's like, I need war footage. So, here's what I'll do. I'll watch Saving Private Ryan. Drew, come on. Oh.
I'm sorry. I know you're just trying to press through this story. Oh, man.
Well, right, I know, sorry. Because you wrote Pee Wee's Playhouse on the side of the XXX theater.
Anyway, just go. Go.
But they tore down the theater, just, and there goes the joke. But now the joke lives on a podcast form.
Just go.
He contacted Steven Spielberg, and he was like, yo, you got any pristine prints, film prints of Saving Private Ryan that I can borrow so I can watch it? And Spielberg was like,
I use his coasters.
It's like, here's a coaster right here. We've only watched this particular print 6 times. That's it. So it is like perfect. Gave it to Christopher Nolan. Didn't give it to him. He lent it to him, and Nolan popped it in, I assume, his super fancy home theater, popped it in a projector himself, and
burned it.
Cranked it with his hand and burned his whole house down. Because the film was very. No, he bought that. So he got a super pristine personal print of Saving Private Ryan from Steven Spielberg himself, too, so he can watch the war scenes. And then he said it was a good thing he watched that, because he realized he ain't going to do it any better than that.
Yeah, no.
So he had to do it different.
No.
So
he found
different ways to focus on the intensity and the madness and the horror of war without doing it the charging to beach Steven Spielberg Saving Private Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty smart move. Because that scene is crazy.
That movie's crazy.
The whole movie's crazy. That movie got rated R for violence.
Yeah.
And then they petitioned. Spielberg and the studio, everyone petitioned. They're like, this movie should be, it's violent, but it's war. It should be seen by at least teenagers.
Agreed.
It should be seen by teenagers of parents who agree that this is something that they can handle. You know, leave it up to the parents to decide. Mm-hmm. Much more so than hit it with a restrictive R rating. And the MPAA acquiesced and gave it to them.
Huh.
And then, it worked out. High school students were going to see it.
I was about to say, I'm pretty sure I watched it like in a history class.
Yeah, people are using it in classes and stuff like that. Absolutely.
So,
yeah. Okay, guys, ready to watch someone get a bullet pulled out of their stomach?
It's going to be pretty sweet.
Did they get it out or no? Did he just bleed to death?
I think he just bleed to death.
Was that Vin Diesel?
Yeah. Right in the beginning, too. He only lasts like 15 minutes in the movie.
I can't forget Vin Diesel.
Yeah, that's where it all went downhill, Chris.
He's like, family. And he dies.
Yeah, he bleeds out in the middle of France.
He bleeds out.
Yeah, right in the middle of the street.
I see London. I see France. I see Vin Diesel shitting his pants. Because he got shot in the gut.
And now he's bled dead. Out, yeah. Yeah, he bled out while there was a sniper battle.
Yeah, that was weird. When Tom Hanks started singing that in the middle of the sniper battle. That was strange. I don't know why he would do that.
I don't know where they got the microphone.
Weird choice. Yeah, he just pulled it
PA.
Out. And then the spotlight hit him.
Yeah.
And then they replaced him with Tom Jones for like 2 shots.
So weird.
Very strange. Very strange movie. Alright, I guess that's it. So we got a first time guest this weekend, confirmed for sure. Alex Moorhead, Fast Food Jesus. Drew will be here this weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Did he die for our sins?
He died for our tasty sins so we could eat beside him in heaven Big Macs.
Okay.
And chicken nuggies.
No, I'm never done with chicken nuggies.
I'll have your nuggets.
I'll have your Big Macs.
Damn it. And then next week, I confirmed today as well, Curtis Earth trivia for sure himself. The man, Curtis Earth, will be here the Sunday after Thanksgiving.
Sweet.
So that's going to be a good time. I got to think of a really good game for that one. Mm. Really good one. Something
about leftovers.
Something about left. Ooh. You spoiled it, Drew. Spoiled the leftovers. And that's all I got on the schedule. So, all right. I don't know. For real. We're going to be funny online.
At Antihero419 all over the internet.
That's it, people. Do that thing. All right. Oh, Drew, I forgot to say. You got to get on that Mr. Robot. I was going to say that.
I'm sure.
Drew, oh, my God. Drew, I almost fell over. It's so exciting.
Did it happen?
No, they keep alluding to it. I'm afraid. We're only halfway through the season, but, man, I am afraid they're going to do the whole, like...
Full on sci-fi?
No. It's going there. I'm afraid that the big reveal, the in capital letters, the big reveal won't happen until like the very end, and then you gotta wait a year or whatever. No. But the last episode, last night, they full on in a flashback, a character talk about another world, and then back in time, Huey Lewis was playing, and they're watching the Back to the Future cartoons. So it's like alternate timelines type shit. It's like you gotta skew it about what's going on. I don't know what's going on.
Awesome.
And then the end of the episode, you think one thing happened, but then another thing happened.
Cool.
Drew, you gotta watch it, man. So good.
So blind on TV, Chris.
Yeah, well, screw everything else. Just watch Mr. Robot. What else? What else is there? Nothing else is there. Fucking Punisher comes out tomorrow.
Shit. We never even watched Defenders.
But do we have to, though?
I don't know, do we?
I don't think so. I think I'm done with all those shows. No, I really don't care. Maybe Luke Cage for the music.
I mean, I'll try another season of Daredevil. Because, man, those motherfuckers hit hard.
Well, yeah, but the people who did Daredevil, the same people who did Defenders. You might as well just watch the Defenders. Defenders is like the way... Captain America Civil War is Avengers 2.5. Defenders is Daredevil 2.5. I mean, it involves, I believe, Elektra. And all, whatever happens there, like the end of Daredevil Season 2 plays into the Defenders. And then that changes whatever happens in the official Season 3 of Daredevil. So I think if you want to follow the Daredevil story, you're going to have to get down on that Defenders. Think so?
I don't have time for that shit.
Oh, man. No, ain't no one got time for that. Who got time for all of that? Iron Fist is right out.
I gave up.
Not even bothering.
Don't even care.
Not even bothering. Depending if the reviews are good, I'd get down on the season 2 of Jessica Jones. Because I did like...
It needs to be good.
That's. I mean, I like the Kilgrave. The best Marvel series villain. Maybe top for me, I would put Kilgrave top 5 of all the Marvel villains, movies and TV shows. Mm-hmm. That's how much I like that character. Pretty sure Hela's number 1.
Who?
Hela?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, pretty sure.
I mean, followed by Vinny Diaz, Wilson Fisk.
I like Kilgrave more just because Kingpin is more straightforward. Mm-hmm. He's a big dude. He's a mob kingpin. He's doing his thing. D'Onofrio was great. Great portrayal. But I liked where they were going with the Kilgrave, with the mind control and the whole the rape allegory and everything. And the rape allegory is straight up. She was like, "You raped me." And so
those girls. The rape allegory.
The allegory turned into like the subtext turned into text before your eyes. You were like, "Whoa!" They went there. And then it's just a compelling villain. Someone just has such simple mind control over you. Mm. That sucks. That really sucks. Very, very compelling for how they ended up, you know, defeating them, etc., etc. So it was. But hello, man, goddamn. Mm-hmm. I wonder how much it is. I just like Kate Blanchett. Apparently on set, she had to throw sugar packets because the first scene she had where she had to like throw her swords or whatever, but she obviously didn't have swords. They were going to CG them in. She makes her throwing motion and then Taika Waititi's like, cut. And then she's like, shit. He didn't like that. And for some reason, she just couldn't like get it right.
Yeah.
So she's like, I need something. Someone give me something. So they're like, oh, you know what it was? Zoe Bell. The stunt woman, like, probably most famous stunt woman now in Hollywood. She was in Death Proof, the blonde chick, the Australian, New Zealand, the Kiwi chick. she was like, here, take these sugar packets. You're going to feel dumb, but throw sugar packets, and then they'll just CGI them out and put in fucking swords. Yeah. So in the movie, when she's like, every time she's throwing her arms, she's tossing around a sugar packet.
Cool.
So like, when she hit Ray Stevenson or whatever, or, is that how he died? Did they all get sorted up?
Yeah. He definitely got hit in the chest with a sugar packet.
I don't know why Brick tells me.
Sugar packet right to the chest.
Sugar packet to the chest. To the chest. Get on that, Mr. Robot. What else are you watching? Get on, Mr. Robot. It's because you're playing video games.
Yeah.
Mr. Robot's so much better. You're in a video game. Mr. Robot's trying to get you out. Or into a better one. What's going on? I don't know. It's crazy. It's crazy. I want to know, Drew, how the plan leads to the thing, to the reveal. It doesn't make any sense, does it? No. The Hadron Collider? What is that? Is that what it is? At the power plant?
Maybe.
You saw that episode. Yeah, it's the first episode.
That's the Large Hadron Collider. I know what the Large Hadron Collider looks like.
Right. That's... And that's under the power plant that they were all working on in the town where all the employees died. Mm-hmm. So why is that there? What are they doing? Why is White Rose there? Mm-hmm. What did Angela see? Angela saw something. Mm-hmm. Why won't she vocalize it so we, the audience, knows? I want to know, Joe.
What, do you want her to just like sit there and just like explain it all to you?
Yes.
with the handy-dandy voiceover?
I just want to know what's happening.
Do you want the Blade Runner voiceover? Is that what you want, Chris?
No, I just want to know what's happening.
See what the Blade Runner voiceover?
Nope. I love the show the way it is currently. I just want them to add a scene now. That explains what's happening.
So
I like everything the way it exactly is. I like it.
Blade Runner voiceover.
No. There already is a voiceover at the whole thing. The entire show does have a voiceover.
Yeah, Elliot.
And it's a good one. Because they mess with you.
The whole time.
He's like, did you see that? Are you in on this?
Fuck, I don't know. Am I? I don't know what I saw. I can't trust your eyes, asshole.
Yeah.
You're a fucking paranoid schizophrenic.
Yeah, oh my god. So Fight Club-y.
Yeah, exactly.
What was it? You saw the Tyrell Wallach episode.
Yeah. You're the only one that can save me. Can save me from myself.
So you're
three
episodes behind. Oh, Drew, get on it. Last week's was so good, and last night's was better. Was it better? I don't know. It was all good. I'm loving this season. All right. We're right here.
A PFT Media production.